in the name of Jesus.
We receive.
We receive
revelation knowledge.
Revelation knowledge
that is found in the written word.
Today,
our eyes behold Jesus.
Behold Jesus
as He sees us in Himself.
As He sees us in Himself.
He is glorified.
He is glorified.
And we are edified.
And we are edified.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Mark 2:28. So I'm teaching also on teaching that will take us for 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks short. But it will lead us to other things. Hallelujah. It's titled Staying with the Fire. Staying with the Fire. What believers should do after a believer shooting. What should a believer do with what he has received after a believer shooting? So, Mark 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, I'm lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, okay, like we know when we say, when Jesus said, go make disciples, right? That comes to mind in Matthew 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we know. Or Matthew, that word disciples, make disciples. Now it's not the word disciples, but the word make disciples is a phrase. Matthew is a phrase, make disciples, right? Now that word make disciples, which in the Old King James is teach to teach, is the word Matthew. Is the word that implies to make students. The way you raise a pupil, this is a question. The way you raise a pupil to becoming a scholar. Are you following me? The way you raise a pupil to becoming a scholar. That's what disciples. So what Jesus is telling us is we should go raise, make pupils, make students of the world. Are you hearing me? Go make students of the world. How? Hallelujah. Now he says something else. He says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now that word comes to mind, baptizing them. Hallelujah. When Jesus said baptizing them, what does it mean? Glory to God. Was it referring to water baptism? You know, that is what a whole lot of people have in their mind. Glory to God. That word baptizing is from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. That word baptizo implies an immersion. How you immerse into something. Do you understand? When you put something into another thing. Hallelujah. That's immersion. I did a study on that word baptizo and I discovered that word baptizo in ancient Greek, because that is a Greek word. Baptizo is from the word baptizo. It's a Greek word. In ancient Greek, the word baptizo is used for how one is enrolled or put in an army. Do you understand me? How you enroll one into an army, a battalion of soldiers. Hallelujah. How you put one into a battalion of soldiers. It's called immersion. He is immersed into the army. Are you following me? So it's not for what I know. Glory to God. Are you following me? So when Jesus says baptize, I know some people will say, you have to be baptized, not just have to be baptized with water before you enter heaven. They are not just baptized with water. The water must be flowing water. Then you will not dip your head in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and bomb blast now happen. Now stop at the Son. What are you being baptized into? Just the name of the Father and the Son. What about the Spirit? When they were about to do the Spirit, bomb blast happened. Hallelujah.
So is it just the name of baptism for me? Which one? Baptizing into the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not correct. Hallelujah. Some people think, what did he baptize? Did you just say about that? So he was baptized into a tree. Right? We are there today. Hallelujah. What do you say?
Now you have to think, oh, it's pastor for all these years. Pastor, just keep that path. Just run for us. Go make disciples, teaching them, right? We are there now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's for a reason. Hallelujah. We are building blocks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. That word is used for how one is enrolled into an army, right? Battalion of soldiers. How you put one into battalion of soldiers. It is not only used for water baptism. That word baptism is not used for water baptism alone. Do you see that? There's not like water here. So why would you imply Jesus was talking about water baptism? Let's see some places where it's used that it's never used for water baptism. Look at Mark 10:38. Mark 10:38. Are you with me? Mark 10:38. He says, and Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask for. What you ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, was referring to John and the brother, where they said that God should grant them right to sit on his one on his right, the other on his left. So Jesus was now saying, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? What baptism is he talking about? Do you understand? That is, so to sit at his life and at his right is to be baptized into the baptism he's been baptized with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they replied, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. Did you see that? It is for those for whom it is prepared. So to sit on his right and left, we saw that on the cross. Hallelujah. So that is the person on his right and left. Hallelujah. Not them. Glory to God. What is it to be baptized with what I'm baptized of? Hallelujah. Drink of the cup which I drink of. He's not talking about water baptism there. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 11 verse 16. This is Peter giving a narration of what happened in the house of Cornelius. And look at what he said. Acts 11 verse 16. As I began to speak, top of verse 15, he says, as I began to speak, the Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. It fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Verse 16. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? It's used for what? The Spirit upon. Did you see that? Not water. Are you following me? In chapter 19, verses 4 into 5. Then Paul said to them, Paul asked those 12 guys, which he saw at Ephesus. He asked them, what have you been baptized into? And they said, we've been baptized into the baptism of John. Then look at what he said immediately in verse 4. He said, then Paul said to them, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people, that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is on Christ Jesus. Verse 6. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Did you see that? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? They were saved. Did you see that? Amen. Pastor Kubi, by your disciples.
What about the second person? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's used for when one is born again, right? Right? To be born again is to be what?
Baptized in the name of the Lord. Are you following that?
Okay, let's move ahead. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It says, for in one spirit, rather put your spirit, your translation will say, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Did you see that? By one spirit we are baptized into one body is used for our union with Christ. Did you see that? Baptism is used for our union with Christ. The same thing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, verse 27. Galatians 3, 27. It says, for as many of you are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Did you see that?
So baptism means to be immersed. You see, it's not just used for water baptism, right? I'm not saying it's not used for water baptism, but it's not just used for water baptism, it's also used for what? Our union with Christ, in Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So if we now get to Matthew 28, Jesus wasn't referring to water baptism. He wasn't referring to water baptism. Neither was he referring to being baptized into three names.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember having to deal with this when I was preparing for. I was baptized with water so that you don't get that three. Hallelujah. I baptized with water. That was way back. That was around early 2000.
That should be around 2005 or 2004. So I remember being in a class where we call it baptismal class, and I was actually forced to do the baptism. So while I was in the baptismal class, I remember one of our teacher was telling us that if you are not baptized with water, you cannot enter heaven. That is so strong. It was so strong. That was so strong. I was saying this consistently, and I now have to ask him a question. I could still remember. I said, sir, you are not correct. He was surprised anybody could answer him like that. I said, you're not correct. However, and he was asking me, why did I say it's not correct? And I showed him scriptures. And what he replied me was that no, it's water baptism. I said, no. He took me to Romans chapter 6.
Romans 6, and yeah, one book, Romans 6.
He says, where he says, shall we continue to sin that death by me? I can go up
there to see the ways of heaven.
There's a bit of me that we baptized into Christ, and that is water baptism. I said, it's never true. I said, it can't be water baptism. He took me to John 3. I said, that's not water baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I remember he asked me a question. Then, what are you doing in this baptism? I said, I'm here because my parents forced me. And I cannot take Holy Communion without being baptized with water. Do you understand? And he was surprised. You know, all through that class, he didn't ask me any questions. But just to tell you.
Hallelujah.
And I left it. Glory to God. Because, you know, a lot of times people miss it. People miss it. Hallelujah. Neither doing or not doing baptism, water baptism, is never wrong, is never right. It's just there. So listen to the message. We have a message on that. Baptism. Hallelujah. You can listen to it. We did a whole lot of study on the word baptism, baptizo, everything. We did a whole lot of study. Hallelujah. Now you know. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So neither was Jesus saying that they should be baptized into three names, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As that word, name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, was not repeated anywhere again in any part of the scriptures. When you see that Father, Son, Holy Ghost used together, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost used together again, never. You won't find it anywhere. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You won't find it anywhere again. And you know, what, before you take anything as doctrine, you must have what? Collaborations, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Two or three persons speaking the same thing.
Hallelujah. So we don't have any collaboration of saying baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I actually see Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as a translation bias.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
I see that more or less in the point of translating. That's why, because we also have similar things in 1 John where it says that truth will bear witness to the Father, Son, and the Spirit.
If that doesn't work, if you look at it critically, they're actually italicized. So you don't have the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost used together as speaking. Are you following me?
So, but we could actually guess, we could actually know what Matthew is saying here. Hallelujah. Because it was not only Matthew that recorded these events. Remember we said Matthew 28 from verse 18 is the summary of what Jesus taught them within 40 days, or the instruction he gave them within 40 days. That is the summary. Right? So we can look at Mark and Luke and John to see what Jesus actually told them to do. Whether is he really baptized? Did Jesus mention water while he spoke to them? Can we see that? Look at Mark. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Mark 16, verse 15. And he came and said to them, go into all the world. Is it the same thing with Matthew? Is it the same thing with Matthew?
Yes, sir.
All the time that we never meant, go therefore and make disciples. Now look at Mark. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He has said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Hey, he gets baptized then. No, calm down.
Hallelujah. He who believes and, that word and. Remember, okay, I was not talking to us, but I was talking to some of our pastors. I can't really place the audience that I had that period. I said, see, if you read scriptures, okay, I said it here. If you read scriptures today, with our language today, you will miss a whole lot of things, right? Right? I showed us of the young guy who said he knows who Paul's father is, because Paul said, my old man, and today you call your father old man. Do you understand? Now you ask, Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ, now called Rema. Now I said, I know who Paul's father is. That man that was crucified with Christ is Paul's father, because Paul said, my old man. You know, the guy is just reading scriptures that was written years back, 2,000 years back. With contemporary language. First of all, Paul was not writing to you. Paul never knew you would read the scripture. I hope you know that. Paul never knew you would read his writings. Paul was writing to a specific church. I hope you know it. So, in fact, if you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the book of Thessalonians, is it Thessalonians or now? No, Colossians. Paul now told them, see, Paul even administers who will read whose book. He now said, see, read the book of the Laodicea, because Laodicea is not too far from Colossae. So he said, read the book of the Laodicea, and they say, allow the Laodiceans read your book. Jesus, and those were the people. So Paul understood those two audiences are going to share their books. Are you following me? But never did Paul know that he's writing that letter. He wrote as letter, he was not writing as scripture. Do you understand? He wrote as letter. Paul never knew that his letter would be put as part of the canons of scripture we have today. Now, how did he know that once he would be reading his letter 2,000 years after? Are you following me? He doesn't even know that one day we will be inside upper grade school and be reading his letters. So he didn't have you in mind when he wrote. He had his direct, immediate audience in mind. So he will write with their language as at then. Are you following me? So when you see the word and in scripture, the word and in scripture is used in two forms. It's either used for as a conjunction, which is what we have today, or is used as an explanation. That is the word kai. The word kai, K-A-I in the Greek. Now when it says he who believes and is baptized, that word kai comes is there. So that word means he who believes that is. That's the word. That is baptized. So he calls baptism to believe. Do you see that? He calls baptism to believe. He said, he who believes. Don't come late next time. Come late next time. I'll send you home. Hallelujah. He who believes, that is baptized, will be saved. Are you saying that?
Hallelujah. So Jesus' instruction was for the scripture to be preached. Hallelujah. So he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Right? So the word baptized is used for what? Believing the gospel. Not for water. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Okay. In Luke 24. In Luke 24, let's see the instructions. Verse 47. Luke 24, verse 47. It says, okay, verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. That is the word kai again, repentance and remission of sins. Are you seeing it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at what? Jerusalem. Sorry, I missed something when I said when I was in Mark. Let me quickly say it. What Mark shows us when he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believes and is baptized and is saved. Now, Mark shows us something that Matthew didn't point attention to us. He pointed it, but you needed to read Mark to grasp what Matthew is saying. Hallelujah. You know, Matthew just said, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, right? Now it looks as if when you make the disciples, you now baptize them. Do you know that? But Mark actually now helps us see that one is enrolled as a disciple when he has set the gospel first. Did you see that? So that point of discipleship, Matthew says, make disciples, right? Which is how you enroll one. So that word make disciple will carry the weight of going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized, he shall be saved. So when that man is saved, he is saved a disciple. Are you following me? So that is the entry point of discipleship. Did you understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Remember we are, don't miss out our topic. Right? Staying with the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So back to Mark, to Luke. It says, and a repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Preached again. The same instruction, right? Preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the instruction is for them to preach what? In his name. Did Mark record this? Yes. Mark recorded it. Say, preach the gospel. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes shall be there. Say, these signs shall follow them that believe in his name. Right? They will cast out demons. So, the believing is where? In his name. Did you see that?
Yes.
Luke also said the same thing. Repentance and remission of sin will preach in his name. Did you see that? So, that suffices you for you to say, you can just easily put in Matthew 28:18-19, it says, baptize them in the name of the Lord. Did you see that? In his name, not different names. In his name. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Are you following me? In his name, that is the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, the instruction was for them to preach in his name, right? Repentance and remission of sins. It's not two different things. Repentance and kai again. Repentance, that is remission of sins. Now this implies that the message of the gospel is the message of God's forgiveness in Christ. And the message, when a man believes, he is saved to becoming a disciple. Or he is saved a disciple. Are you following me? When a man believes, saved the disciple. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's go back to Matthew 28. So when he says make disciples,
The background will be the local church, a gathering, right? With the side, we call the word matitio. Matitio means a school. A school. A school. So a school, you will have gatherings. You will have people. I mean pupils, right? You have people in a school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What this implies is that there will be meetings. Right? Right? There will be meetings. There will be gatherings. There will be meetings. And in Christianity, we have different kinds of meetings. Hallelujah. Which we can see also in the book of Acts. We have different kinds of meetings. We have the teaching meeting. We have the teaching meeting. Basically, we have five kinds of meetings. One, we have the teaching meetings. Teaching meetings. The teaching meetings is the primary meeting of believers. Matthew 28:20, teaching them. So basically, when we come together, it's for us to be taught. It's for us to be taught. Teaching them. Teaching them. So when we come together, it's for us to be taught. Now, in a teaching meeting, every believer, is a classroom meeting for every believer. Right? Of every believer. Where one person teaches, who is the pastor, or one appointed by the pastor. Right? Right? So that one teaches from the scriptures. It teaches from the scriptures, not from business book, from the scriptures, not philosophy, from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Read from the scriptures. And others will listen. Others will listen and take note. Others will listen and take note from the teaching meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can have other meetings. We can have other meetings, as every other meeting is stopped from the teaching meeting. Hallelujah. So the teaching meeting will lead to other meetings. The teaching meeting will lead to other meetings. Because every other meeting would have to be taught in the teaching class. Hallelujah. Like the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is... Now, I need you to see what I'm doing, what I'm going to do now, as I am teaching you on the different kinds of meetings. Like you see the common goal of all the meetings. Hallelujah. So, the teaching meetings, you are taught concerning Christ, right? So that you can carry up his assignment in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, I said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said the teaching meeting will lead to a prayer meeting. I want you to pay attention to this. The prayer meeting is where we gather together to pray. Acts 2:42. And this continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines, in the breaking of bread and prayer. Did you see that? We come together to pray. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had an hour of prayer where everybody goes to pray. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. They went to pray. Chapter 4. I'm going to point out to chapter 4 for a reason. Chapter 4, verse 29. In 31. But just 21. 29. When they were chatting, they came to their own. Right? They came to their own and they prayed. They prayed. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Now, they came together primarily to pray. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
So it was a prayer meeting first. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or, let's say they had a prayer meeting in their gathering. So they prayed. Where they were shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were praying. I mean, they were stirred to preach. Hallelujah. They prayed and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have also what we call the evangelistic meetings. Evangelistic meetings. Evangelistic meetings. It's also a practical meeting where we all go out to evangelize to the unsaved so that they too will become disciples.
Are you following me?
Evangelistic meetings.
Jesus instructed them to go preach the gospel, make disciples, Matthew 28:18-20.
Jesus gave that charge, Mark 16:15, what we just read. Luke 24:47, what we just read.
Hallelujah.
Evangelistic meetings. Let's look at the book of Acts. Did they have evangelistic meetings? Yes. Acts 2, from verses 15. From Amazon, from verses 14 down to 41 was an evangelistic meeting. Hallelujah. Was an evangelistic meeting. And how many people were saved? 3,000 people were saved. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Acts 3. They had an evangelistic meeting after the healing was done. Verse 11. A lot of people gathered and Peter talked. Hallelujah. Evangelistic. In Acts 8, from verses 4, therefore, I mean verses 3, for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Are you following me? Committing them to prison. But what happened afterwards? Glory to God. So therefore, those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Everybody. Hallelujah. Those who were scattered, what did they do? Went everywhere preaching. Evangelistic. That same Acts 8, verse 26, we saw Philip with the Ethiopian Enoch. Hallelujah. Evangelistic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Went out by the Holy Ghost and evangelized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the total, you know, got saved. Hallelujah. So we have evangelistic meetings. We also have what we call healing meetings. Healing meetings. It is also a practical class that will proceed from the teaching meetings. Hallelujah. Where we all go out to the sick. We'll go out. Now, this is how the healing meetings can take place. We'll go out to the sick. Or we'll go out for the sick. Do you see that? We can go out to the sick. We can call for the sick, for them to be healed. Hallelujah. We can also have the healing meetings proceed from a teaching meeting. Look at Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17. That is Jesus. Luke 5:17. If you are there, read. It says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching. And there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present with them. Do you see that? So we can have teaching meetings where that can lead to healing meetings. Hallelujah. We can have teaching meetings that can lead to healing meetings. Hallelujah. We can have evangelistic meetings. That will lead, or rather put this way, that will lead to healing meetings. You are going out on evangelism. Hallelujah, you are preaching the word. And you see someone who is sick. You can lay hands and continue preaching. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So the healing meetings can happen in any of the other meetings. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It can happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, in Acts 3 to 4, the healing meeting led to an evangelistic meeting. They had someone who was sick by the gate, at the gate called Beautiful. When the guy got healed, what happened? People gathered.
You see that? So never be ignorant of it. When you have healing meetings where someone gets healed and you see people coming together, it's not the time for you to feel flat. Start claiming bones. No, it's the time to preach. Are you following me? It's time to preach. Be sensitive, be smart, be intelligent. Are you hearing me? Be intelligent, you have to be intelligent. To know that when a healing takes place and people try and people come together, preach the gospel to them. Don't start coming again. Hey, yeah. I'm a man of God, don't you think? No. It's not the time to start taking selfies. Start taking pictures. No. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes I go online and I see people just healing took place and you're snapping pictures. Snapping pictures. The madman got healed and he took pictures. They're taking selfies. For what? Young in ministry, look at what you are doing. Let God start not ministry. It's wrong. Hallelujah. It's wrong. Some people are going for evangelism and they are snapping pictures. They are taking pictures. They are going for evangelism. See us, we are preaching the word. We are in another moment where we are preaching the word. Are you okay? Hallelujah. We never learned, I for one never learned ministry that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of the pictures said that we take, those some of our business. He sits there sometimes, he needs to pinch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or have you ever, even in my dreams, I've never gone out to take pictures. I'm doing evangelism. How? We start, you're born again, understand. Take a picture. So he said, you are not well. Is that what you are saying to you? Hallelujah. And some people will not be like me. I've never, may God, I have never, will never, can never like such pictures of life. Just now. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people that do get saved that you would never, you will put their life at risk by putting them online. Just now. Somebody who is a Muslim, you got the person to say, the person is born again, and the person don't want them to know. Because, you know, sometimes, some other religion, their life is on threat. Don't you know? I remember someone that I left to Christ years ago. I was a Muslim. And I told the person, I'm not telling you to do that. Because I'm going to mosque. I don't know. The one person's life was at stake. The father did not mind to kill her. But I told him, I'm going to mosque. Don't worry. You are going to see it. Hallelujah. Now imagine I now put it online that she's saved. She's one for Christ. You are just unleashing the person into the next level of persecution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. So those are foolish things to do. If you're an evangelist, you are carrying camera. In fact, you are going on evangelism, your phone should be switched off. You don't know. It's switched off. Glory to God. It's not showmanship. Are you hearing me? It's not showmanship. It's not. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. So never do that. Never do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've never done it. We'll never do it. I can never do it. Amen.
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 I can't. You're just being carnal. Glory to God. So, in Acts 8, 2, from verse 4 to 8, the healing meeting, look at that, led to an evangelistic meeting. To Acts 8, from verse 4 to 8. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. Did you see that? They listened to him because they saw miracles. Everybody came together. Ah! See miracles. Hallelujah. And he did not just start taking pictures. Don't worry. That's how we got the power, you know? I got the power. Okay, don't worry. You don't know that song. Hallelujah. I got the power. Woo! Hallelujah. What did he do? He ministered to them. They were saved. They were baptized. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? He ministered to them. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So they listened to him, got saved. So that means the healing that they saw got them together and he preached. Hallelujah. So the healing meeting too, we can lead to evangelistic meetings. Like when you go out for evangelism and someone who is sick, you pray for the person and the person is dead. People come together. Hallelujah. What do you think will happen? Remember, people get, he's not moving, there'll be sick of, he's not healed. Woo, he used to have woo, he, preach. Speak, tell them, sit down. Let me tell you what just happened, sit down. Yes. Hallelujah. You sit all of them down. Yes. And you preach. Yes, hallelujah. And then you preach. You preach Christ.
Yes, sir.
And when you are preaching Christ, preach Christ from that healing. Yes, I'm going to teach you that, but we're having healing classes. This month, hallelujah. After this set of teachings that we're having healing teachings, hallelujah, and it's going to last for like 12 weeks. And in each meeting, we're having healings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I see healing waves all around. All around. Not just from here. Everywhere in the nation, there's healing waves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it will go from nation to nation.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's healing waves in
the
world.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, let's go ahead. We now have what we call the Holy Ghost meeting. But before we look at Holy Ghost meeting, something to see is the fact that all this meeting was spoken about is to stir up love for God and global evangelism. Did you see that? They prayed, they were bold, and they spoke the word of God. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Evangelistic, to preach, right? Healing meeting leads to evangelistic. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Please take note of this because we'll get to see it shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More men saved. Then we now have the Holy Ghost meetings and believers meetings. These, I call it special meetings. Special meetings of believers. Special meetings of believers, or call it, is also a practical class. Hallelujah, sorry. I personally, Pastor Shep will call it our town hall meetings. I will call it our believers' porato meeting. You know what we call porato? Local, our meeting, our town hall meeting. Hallelujah. You know what we call porato meeting? Those of you who didn't know who went to private university, your life is private. Hallelujah. Those of us who did not go to private university will have, we have to go for Porato meetings. You know what Porato meetings? You don't know what Porato meetings are, you need it from that. You know what Porato meetings are? As good as the school is. You know what Porato meetings are? University, you do your private university. And I carry sockets to your back everywhere to get to. So I'm going to bring you out. You realize this is like, people are calling you university, you are calling for serious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Porapo meeting is when you're in school. You know what Porapo meeting is? Eh? This is when you go to school at all. Hey, where? You need Abuja Alpha. You know what Porapo meeting is? You know, right? Okay, you know what Porapo meeting is? Son, your school is on the left. Hallelujah. Our meeting is like you're in school, it's just like town meeting. You have different kind of people. You have Odudua children in my school. We have Odudua meeting. People that are from Yoruba land will get to have their meeting. Those of us that are in who have our meeting, they just have different tribes having their meeting different ways. So you get to unite yourself, get to organize yourself, get to see yourself, and you have it once in a week, right? You that's your school, there's no light, how can they have meeting? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So I call it our porapo meeting, our local dialect meeting. Hallelujah. Our town hall meeting. Believers' town hall meeting. Where the word of God is taught. I'll say it's given first place. The word of God is taught first. The teaching of the word is given first place. The Spirit of the Lord
is given free course.
Needs are met.
Everyone leaps through the door with joy,
well ready to carry out the Father's will in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'll take that again. It's a meeting where the Word of God is given first place, the Spirit given free course. Needs are met. Everyone leaps through the door with joy. With joy.
Yes.
Well ready to carry out the Father's will in the earth.
Yes.
Oh, and full of love. You don't leave a Holy Ghost meeting with hatred, with anger. No, you're full of love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
In a believer's meeting,
something you need to see. I want to draw a bit of line between those two.
In a believer's meeting, we can have other meetings.
I need to see this.
We can have other meetings together.
Yes, sir.
In a believer's meeting, we'll have every other meeting together. Like we can have the teaching meetings,
yes, sir.
We can have the prayer meetings, healing meetings,
yes, sir.
And the Holy Ghost meetings.
Yes,
in a believer's meeting,
yes, sir.
We can have the teaching meeting, prayer meeting, healing meetings, and Holy Ghost meetings in a believer's meeting.
Hallelujah.
All together.
Yes,
in Acts 2. Acts 2 and Acts 4, verse 31, is a typical Holy Ghost believer's meeting. Hallelujah. Is a typical Holy Ghost believer's meeting. Acts 2.
Are you following me? Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
So, let's see. What was the outcome of Acts 2 and Acts 4? What was the outcome of Acts 2 and Acts 4? Evangelism, right? What was the outcome? Evangelism. Acts 2 in verse 16, what happened? They preached, and how many people were saved? 3,000 were saved. Acts 4, they had an Holy Ghost meeting, and what happened? The Bible says in verse 31, Acts 4, 31. Acts 4, verse 31.
And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you see that?
So, from that prayer meeting they had, they now had the Holy Ghost meeting. Hallelujah.
And they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Do you see the outcome? Right? Evangelism. Right? Outreach. The word of God is spoken with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
So the outcome will be they evangelize. They reach the unsaved. Therefore, believers' meeting stirs us up for the work of ministry. Are you hearing me? Believers' meeting stirs us up for the work of ministry. Another Holy Ghost meeting we see, or another believer's meeting we have in the book of Acts, is Acts 13. Acts 13. Hallelujah. Acts 13. Are you there? For verse 1. And now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, did you see that? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. So many will have utterance at work in the believers' meetings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and what? Sent them away. Glory to God. Glory to God. And sent them away. So, during the Holy Ghost meeting, words are spoken by the Holy Ghost. That is utterance. Utterance is the primary gift at work, right? Utterance. Hallelujah. Utterance. Utterance will not give window for what? Revelation and the power gifts. Remember, it's a believer's meeting. And the primary gift in a believer's meeting is the utterance gift, right? Right? So, words are spoken by the Holy Ghost. Directions is received. Directions is received. In the Holy Ghost meeting, just as we've seen in Acts of Apostles chapter 13, hands are laid, and what happened? Ministry is bettered. In Acts 13, ministry was bettered. Hallelujah. Hands are laid, ministry is bettered. Hallelujah. Or is bettered. And all this is towards the what? All this is towards what the Spirit is doing in the earth today. All this is geared towards what? The work of the Spirit in the earth. All this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So primarily, the stirrings and leading of the Spirit is towards what He does in the earth. The stirrings and the leading of the Spirit is towards what He does in the earth. Are you following me? Glory to God. So when hands are laid, as we've seen, we are stirred for ministry. Paul and Barnabas, hallelujah, hands were laid on them and they were stirred for ministry. Stirred for ministry. In Romans 1:11, look at what Paul said. In Romans 1:11, about, it says, "For I love to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." That I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. So during some special meetings, when hands are laid, the gift of the Spirit are ministered. The gift of the Spirit are ministered. When hands are laid, the gifts or the things of the Spirit are ministered. Paul says, "I long to see that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that ye may be established." That word "established" is in the Greek "sterizo," "sterizo," S-T-E-R-I-Z-O, "sterizo." A word you will find in Luke 22:33. In Luke 22:33. Let's go to Luke 22:33 quick. Luke 22:33. Are you there? Look at what he said. He says, "But he said to them," this is by him, "but he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Sorry. A second. I guess I missed that one. Okay, give me let's look at Acts 18:3. I'll get back to Luke 22 shortly. Unless I missed that all. Acts 18. Verse 23, sorry. Are you there? Verse 23. Okay, are you there? Verse 23. It says, "And after he had spent some time there, he departed. He departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples." That is what strengthening. Now look at that Acts. Look at that Luke 22 again. Luke 22:32. It says, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you are returned to me," it says, "strengthen your brethren." strength was strengthened. Hallelujah. To strengthen. In Romans 16:25. It means now he who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Did you see that? That the word establish. Establish. Glory to God. Glory to God. In 1 Thessalonians 3:2. He says, and sent Timothy our brother to minister, the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish. That word, to establish, a translation called it to encourage. Hallelujah. To establish you. To establish you and encourage you, concerning your faith. That is the word encourage. Hallelujah. Establish, that is encourage you. Hallelujah. You find it also in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:17. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 5:8. 5:10. 1 Peter 1:12. 3:2. I take it again. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, 3:3. 5:8. 1 Peter 5:10. 2 Peter 1:12. 3:2. When hands are laid, prophecy given. When hands are laid in the believers' meeting or prophecy received, we find strength, encouragement. We find strength and encouragement as regards the work committed to our trust. We find strength and encouragement when hands are laid. We find strength and encouragement as regards the work committed to our trust. In 1 Timothy, are you following me? In 1 Timothy 1:18, look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, I charge thee. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. Remember, in a believer's meeting, the primary gift is your trust gift, meaning we will receive prophecies, right? We will receive the election. Now, Paul wanted Timothy, he said, by those prophecies, he said, you wage a good warfare. Remember yesterday, I taught us, those of you were around yesterday, I taught us that when Paul said, despite not prophesying, right? Despite not prophesying, we looked at it from two folds, right? From that, the person who receives and the person who gives. The same way, you must have that attitude not to despise those things, right? You must have that attitude not to despise them. Glory to God. Not to despise them. Now, Paul now says, with those prophecies, now you see why you shouldn't despise them. Hallelujah. With those prophecies, say you wage a good warfare. You wage a good warfare. You wage a good warfare. Let's see what Paul is communicating here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with prophecies and hand laid, we wage a good warfare in the work of ministry. As believers, I want to say this well, so that you hear me. As believers, as long as we are in this flesh, we are constantly and consistently in a warfare. Are you hearing me? As believers, as long as we are still in this flesh, we are constantly and consistently in a warfare. In a warfare. Now, the warfare is not the warfare with the devil. No. No, not the warfare with the devil. As some people will think. But the warfare is with those things contrary to the gospel we've received. Look, when Paul was telling this to Timothy, he was preparing Timothy's mind as he was going down to Ephesus. He was preparing Timothy's mind that, see, there will be those who will counter the scriptures. There will be those who will twist the scriptures. Look at verses 19. Just look down to verse 19 in that scripture. It says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered what? Shipwreck. Of whom I was Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Meaning, to deliver to Satan means he gave them public
embarrassed. That was Satan, and the Greek word Satan was not always used for a person. Hallelujah. Satan was used for opposition. So he gave them opposition, a public opposition. Hallelujah. Public rebuke. Are you following me? Are you following me? So he gave them a public rebuke that they may not blaspheme. Meaning, people were already blaspheming. Do you get? So he tells him, see, remember the prophet that I've done ahead of you concerning the war. Then I say, because in that prophecy you will wage a good warfare. So when things are happening around, because if you get to 2 Timothy, which we'll get to soon, there was now all around the nation, or all around, there were people with false doctrine, there was false doctrine everywhere. Imagine you are now Joshua and Caleb amongst the 10 spies, among the remaining spies. Among the remaining spies. I don't understand. So it's as if you are now the minority when everybody is saying on what you just. So Paul is telling Timothy, stick to that which you have learned. Stick to the prophets that have gone ahead of you. Hallelujah. He says, by it you will win a good warfare. So the warfare here is what warfare against those things that are contrary to your belief, to your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those things that are contrary. Paul said, we're going to face the war, we're going to wage a warfare against them. Hallelujah. And how will you wage warfare against them? With the prophecy that have gone ahead. Are you following me? With the prophecy that have gone ahead. With the hands that have been laid. Hallelujah. So we can now wage a warfare. And that's what we're looking at. Hallelujah. We can now wage a warfare. Wage a warfare. Glory to God. Glory to God. So warfare with what? We say the warfare is with what? Those things contrary to the gospel we receive, right? Warfare with the affairs of this world. The affairs of this world. The affairs of this world. And as believers, you should not be stupid. Hallelujah. You should not be stupid. Do not embrace the world. Hallelujah. But when a man has lost track of prophets that has gone ahead of him, he becomes stupid. Are you following me? He becomes stupid. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to see some of those little examples. Maybe next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With the affairs of this world, wrong doctrines is part of it, and it's like. So the prophecies and the hands laid helps us in this fight. Hallelujah. This fight, I'll borrow a word I used to use years back. This fight is a fight against staggering oppositions, which may be normal in the society.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand? It may not be normal in the society. Normal. Is that the society? Normal. But you know, because of something that has gone ahead of you, glory to God. You refuse to associate yourself with what is normal in society. You stay with the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The society where it's not normal for young boys to have girlfriends, young girls to have boyfriends. And you, because you are called, your eyes is on the ball. Your eyes is on the work of ministry. And everybody looking at you. Beyond they will call you names. Now you see Jesus, Mary and Martha. This one, that one. Hallelujah. I have a sister like that when she gained admission to school. She called me after, I guess, and I thought, yeah, is a man on ground, sir. I don't think I can be then. My Xavier was. Everybody just talking. My best zero, second year, I'm in the zero. Everybody just talking. I'm the only person that I know her boyfriend, sir. In that automatically, I know she's already missing the ball. They're not busy. They're not sticking to prophecies. Hallelujah. They're losing the ball. When those things, but mind it, watch it when things that are natural. See, that are just, you know, in our society, you can call those things normal. Do you understand? When those normal things in the society begin to tell at you because you are not doing them. Are you following me? Know that you are losing the ball. You are losing touch, or you are losing track of what has gone ahead of you. You are missing the ball already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mind it. Watch it. Watch it. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Everybody is now preaching prosperity. That is the new way. Emoji. Sir, when we start preaching prosperity, you're not aware. Hallelujah. I will cast and bind you. Before you even say pro, I'll bind you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Somebody came to me that, sir, the way you are preaching, there is a new way of a man of God that is preaching this thing. I'm not joining you. Only, you know. Yeah. I look at it. Sure. Hallelujah. I stick to what I'm teaching. Come 10, come 20, come 30, come 40, come 50 years. Hallelujah. By the power of God, grace of God, power of God,
we will keep doing the same thing. I'll keep preaching the same thing. You will come to meet and open Matthew 28.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come 50 years, open to Matthew, to his disciples, discipleship, Matthew, so we'll see you
guys.
Yes. Are you ready? You are already tired. And before I come open, you already say, yeah, we'll talk about Matthew. You are already missing the ball. Hallelujah. I will not get tired.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's proceed. Glory to God. So you watch it. What is even looking normal in the society? Hallelujah. That are contrary to the prophecies that have gone ahead.
We wage a good warfare with the prophecies that have gone ahead of you, right?
So let's see how Timothy tells, how Paul tells Timothy to fight.
Glory to God.
Paul tells Timothy to wage a good warfare with these prophecies, right? Let's see how he tells him to. How he tells him to keep track of these prophecies.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at, just go down to chapter 2. Glory to God. So, because at this point, when you get to 2 Timothy, there was already different kind of doctrines.
I am in 1 Timothy, Paul was preparing the heart of Timothy. Now, in 2 Timothy, it has started happening. Hallelujah. People are already saying nonsense. People are already saying different things. People are already saying different things. Some of them say, resurrection is past. You know what, man? Oh,
we've left the cross. We've left the resurrection.
Oh, yeah. We've fasted. You know, people are, different kind of doctrine are not going on.
What are you doing in the cross? No. What are you doing there? It is finished in the cross.
It is finished for Moses. Don't you know? There will be no messages around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what happens is, why will you be loyal? Loyalty is nonsense. You are serving my God. You are serving my God. It's like your worship. You know, different doctrines were flying all around. Hallelujah.
Now, Paul now reminds Timothy again. In his opening book, I mean, while opening in chapter 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 14. Look at what he then tells Timothy. He said, the good things which was committed to you, the things which were committed to you, how were they committed? By prophecy.
Via the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah.
How was it committed to him? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14. He said, do not neglect the gift of God which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands.
Hallelujah.
Hands were laid. Prophecy has gone forth. And he said, those things that are committed to you, remember, Timothy. He says, you should keep them by the Holy Ghost, who dwells in you. Hallelujah. He said, keep them by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What was committed to you via prophecy? What was committed to you?
Hallelujah. Via the laying on of hands.
He said, keep them by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how can we keep them by the Holy Ghost? Remember, he didn't say you should keep them with your strength. You know, he said by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So how do we? Amen. Amen. Look at that chapter 1. I mean, 1 Timothy 4:14. How do we keep by the Holy Ghost? It says, in and tells him, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Hallelujah. 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 So this is an instruction of how what is received can be kept. Glory to God. when ministry is better. Maybe ministry is better than you see when hands are laid. Hallelujah. And Paul now says, you keep what you receive by not neglecting it. That's the word. Not neglecting it. That word neglect. Do not neglect. That word neglect is the word amelo in the Greek. Amelo in the Greek. The word amelo is the word that is used for one who is careless or to be careless. To be careless. Not to pay attention to. Not to pay attention to. Hallelujah. Not to pay attention to. You find that in Matthew 5. Matthew 22 verse 5. Not to pay attention to. Hebrews 2 verse 3. Hebrews 8 verse 9. Not to pay attention to. What this implies is that what was committed, or what is committed to me, what was communicated to me in a believer's meeting, I mustn't be careless or stop paying attention to it. I mustn't be careless. I mustn't stop paying attention to it. Hallelujah. That means I'll have to listen to it again. I have to listen to those words of prophecy again. I have to keep it around me. Hallelujah. I mustn't be careless about it. I mustn't lose sight of it. Hallelujah. If I've written it down, I have to read it. Always. Hallelujah. I mustn't be careless. I want to lose sight of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? I want to lose sight of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to lose sight of it. Hallelujah. So how do I stop paying attention to what was received? I can stop paying attention to it. I hope you know that. Hallelujah. So it's my duty by the Holy Ghost not to what? Neglect it. Hallelujah. Yes. Not to stop paying attention to it. I must keep paying attention to it. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. He's still telling him the same thing. He says, stir up. In that word in the Greek, is the word that was stir up in the Greek, is the word anazoporio. Anazoporio. A-N-A-Z-O-P-U-R-E-O. Anazoporio. That word anazoporio has an undertone of fire. How you keep a fire burning, fanning the flames of fire to keep it burning. Hallelujah. So Paul tells Timothy, stand it up. Keep it burning. Hallelujah. Keep it burning. Are you following? Keep it burning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a translation calls it to candle afresh. When it says stir up, that translation calls it to candle afresh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This shows that what was communicated when hands are laid and via prophecy is the fire for the work. We receive fire for the work. Hallelujah. Remember, it was strengthening. Hallelujah. When Paul says, stir it up. And the another of keep to keep something burning. It means what we receive is fire. Fire for the work. Hallelujah. It is fire for the work. Oh, Lord, you see, we will receive fire for the work. Hallelujah. We receive fire for the work. We receive strengthening for the work. Much more, those of us go around for carries camp too. Hallelujah. Hands were laid and fire for the work was better. Hallelujah. Was better. Was found that place again. Hallelujah. Now it's your duty to keep it up. To keep up the fire. To stay with the fire you've received. And Paul said you stay it up. Hallelujah. You keep it burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, go.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Paul said you can keep it burning. Stand it up. Staying with the fire. Staying with the fire. We can keep it up. We can keep it burning. It's our duty. Hallelujah. Paul says it's committed to our trust. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So our role by the Holy Ghost is to keep it burning. So when hands are laid and prophecy received, it's not the time to go resting. So people say,
You know, some people, after a believer's meeting, after a Holy Ghost meeting, they want to go and rest. After Kariska, they want to just go and take 10 hours sleep. Ah! Kariska, by 5 a.m., we're awake. No, we're running. Or after CRC, that's such meeting. Oh, after such meeting, after such rejoicing. Ah, then they come. So just get to the next meeting. Woo! Glory. Just sleep off till the next morning. Hallelujah.
Move.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So after special meeting, it's not the time to go resting. Rather, it's the time to go on the walk. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Special meetings leads to activities. Leads to the walk itself. Don't rest after a special meeting. It's time to walk. After a special meeting, tell yourself it's time to walk. It's time to get on ministry. Hallelujah. It's time to get on the walk. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's time to get on the walk of ministry.
Yes, sir.
It's time. It's time. It's not the time of sabbatical. No.
Yes,
no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it's time to get on the activity of fanning the flames of what has been received during those special meetings. It's time to get on the activity of fanning the flames of what you've received. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's time to get on that activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember, what is received is what? As you just what the Spirit of God is doing here. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So special meeting will lead to what God is doing here.
Yes,
it will stir up love and lead to what God is doing here. What is God doing here? Men are saved.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Genesis 1 verse 2, and the Spirit of God overs over the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. That is what God is doing in the earth too. That's what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth too. Hallelujah. It's wielding all the earth. He's walking all the earth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, let's look at Jesus as we begin to round up for today. And we'll look at it again next week. Hallelujah. Within the 40 days at the resurrection, in Matthew 28, from verse 5 to 7, and verse 16, we saw that Jesus appointed them a place to meet in Galilee. Right? Right? In Galilee. Then he spent 40 days with them. Meaning Jesus had a special meeting with them. Hallelujah. And at the end of the 40 days, he gave them a mandate. That's like after every special meeting, there's always a mandate. He gave them a mandate and instructions. An instruction written by all the writers of the synoptic, which we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Written by all the writers of the synoptic. And in giving that instruction, Luke recorded something for us to see. In giving that instruction, he writes for us to see something. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, we are supposed to see. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you." He says, "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That is the word to tarry. To tarry. In giving them the mandate, he tells them to tarry. Tarry doesn't mean to sit down and do nothing and sleep. No. Rather, as we've seen in one of our teachings, right? What is that teaching? Connecting to the flow. Right? Connecting to the flow. As we've seen in that teaching, tarrying doesn't mean to just sit and wait. Tarry means to get on an activity. To get on an activity. To get on an activity. In Matthew 5 verse 1, the Bible says Jesus sat and taught. Matthew 5:1. He sat down and taught. He didn't sit down and rest. He sat down and taught. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 48. Jesus gave a parable.
the parable of the dragnet. Hallelujah. Verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered. They just sit down and give, they sat down and they were involved in our activity. They gathered. Hallelujah. In Matthew 19, verses 28. Matthew 19, 28. It says, when the Son of Man comes, sit in the throne of glory, you who are with me will sit also on the 12 thrones, judging. So there's an activity, judging the 12 tribes. Now, that judging is what we do in the preaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me?
Glory to God.
So whenever that word that is used, you find it also in Matthew 23, 21, 25, 31, 26, 36 to 37. There is always an activity to be involved in an activity. Hallelujah. So when Jesus told them, tarry in the city of Jerusalem, they knew it was not time to go and sleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was why as soon as Jesus left their sight physically, the Bible says they returned where? They returned to Solomon's porch. Hallelujah. They returned. And let's see, the Luke now made us see what they did when they were there in Acts 1 verse 14. Luke said they were praying. They were praying. Hallelujah. They were in one accord and they were praying. They were in one accord and they were praying. They were in one accord and they were praying. Hallelujah. They were in one accord and they were praying. They didn't just pray and stop. They had prayer was not a constant. Hallelujah. They were involved in the activities. We'll get on this, especially from here. Let's speak also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will pray. Hallelujah. So after a special meeting, it's not the time to go and see that. No. Hallelujah. It's time to get on activities. Hallelujah. Time to see that improvement in your prayer life. Hallelujah. It's time to get on the task. Get on the walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were praying. Hallelujah. And they continued in it. In Acts 6 by 6. Peter said, we'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. So they were found praying. And that is why all through the epistles, we have the charge to live a constant and consistent prayer life. Colossians 4, verse 2. Ephesians 6, 18. Colossians 4, 2. We say, continue steadfastly in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 In prayer. In Romans 12, verse 9, into 12. Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12. Are you there? Are you there? Read. Verse 9. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Say, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to another. Not lacking in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Devoted in prayer. Fervency in prayer. Hallelujah. So a consistent prayer life is important in keeping and stirring the fire received for the work while carrying out the work of ministry. Hallelujah. While carrying out that work, giving via prophecy. Prayer. A consistent prayer life is important. It's needed. Hallelujah is needed. Glory to God. So when hands are laid, when prophecy has gone forth, you don't rejoice. No, we rejoice when we receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice when we receive. But you know, it shouldn't stop there. Glory to God. As soon as you leave the meeting, it's time to pray. As you guys want to receive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your boldness in the place of prayer. Glory to God.
Your boldness in the place of prayer.
Hallelujah. Remember. Remember. You don't treat it carelessly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not neglect the gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not neglect. Do not treat it carelessly. You treat it carelessly when you don't have it in your mind. You look at that verse. When you don't keep it in your mind. Hallelujah. When you don't keep it around you. When you don't keep it in your heart. You are careless about it. Because what is in your heart will be in your mouth. You look at that. Hallelujah. 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 So when you don't keep it in your heart. You are careless. You are careless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do I know I'm not careless? It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. And then, hallelujah, I consistently pray of holding in the place of prayer. I keep it burning in my heart when I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm not lazy at prayer. Say to yourself, I'm not lazy at prayer. I'm not lazy at prayer. Hallelujah. I keep a constant and a consistent life of prayer.
A life of prayer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Have you learned something today? Hallelujah.